You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What is up?
Happened?
What happened last night?
Well, you know, they gave it a shot.
What a season.
You cannot walk away from this season without anything but pride for these young men.
Amen.
They literally, if I'm not mistaken, and I can be wrong. God knows I can. Q, if you'll look this up, I believe the greatest season-to-season turnaround
in all time.
In Major League Baseball history.
Wow. Good on them, then.
So it is from a wins to improvement win. It's not the biggest win to win because that's 35 wins, and that was done by the Orioles, I believe, in the 80s.
Okay, they had 30.
But it is the best turnaround in the sense that no team has ever lost 100-plus games and then won a playoff series the next year. So it is the best turnaround in that sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did great.
Dan, I think you have a rival now in the encyclopedia department.
Oh! Well, when it comes to the sports stuff, sure.
I wish that if my brain could learn stuff like I do sports facts, man, I could have like cured cancer or something by now.
Can we talk
I just wish
about,
my brain could learn.
Let's talk about sports facts. How many times have the benches cleared in a postseason game? And what was that last night where he tagged us at second, then turned around and smacked tagged him? And then when our player was like, seriously, bro, and he starts walking away, did you see what happened after that?
The pat on the back.
The pat on the back was the most trite.
Mm.
What do we call that?
Juvenile,
like, I don't even know word to describe that pat on the back. So, it was the pat on the back that was worse than the first two things.
I totally agree with you 100%. We were watching the game in the living room last night, and I may have played baseball a time or two in my life. So what? Who cares? Never at that level, obviously. But T and I are watching the game, and I thought that the after-the-tag behavior was like the
like,
push.
Wow.
But when I saw him in real time tap him on the back twice, I looked at T and I go, oh hell. I mean, because that's mother is ugly.
Yes. Did you see one of the Yankees players was the one that took, and you have to remind me which player of ours it was that was the recipient of the juvenile behavior.
Encyclopedia. But
he patted him on the back, and then another Yankees player came and put his arm around our player to get him out of there. As if
like,
to say,
let it go, bro.
No, as if to say, that one's on us. That should not have happened. Mm-hmm. Let's get you out of here.
Q would know the name.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot believe that happened. Well, I do believe it.
As Garcia, it was the Royals' third baseman.
That's right. Oh. That's right. Garcia was the one.
The look he had on the dugout could kill puppies.
You know what
once he went back to the dugout, you could tell he was going.
Which Garcia is already kind of like a emotional player. Emotional good way,
yes.
Right? He's one of these guys that sort of leaves it out on the field.
Yeah.
Whereas there are other players that, you know, something like that will happen and they'll just let it go.
So who was this Yankees guy? Was he the shortstop or the second baseman that tapped him on the back twice?
It was the second baseman.
Okay.
The word is belittlement. It was...
Yeah.
Belittling, it was...
Peeing on your fire hydrant.
Yep.
And so as soon as he tapped him on the back, and of course the bench is clear, no punches were thrown, thank God.
I was waiting.
I said out loud, I go, when that guy goes up to bat...
Oh, he's going to get it.
He's going to get hit. And he didn't get hit. I would have beamed that guy.
You're not supposed to do that.
A kinder, gentler baseball being played at Kauffman.
I wouldn't have gone for the head, but definitely in the back.
Or the elbow.
Whatever.
Did you hear their manager's comments about it after?
No, what did he say?
He said, and for those of you who have followed baseball in this town for a long time, he said, I don't really have anything to say about it. You want to talk about whatever, why don't we talk about Hal McRae back in the last time the Royals played the Yankees? There was apparently a very similar second base, tit for tat. And their manager remembered that and said, oh, you want to talk about that? Well, let's go back to 19, whatever it was. And I was like,
this
is that a Royals reference back to Hal McRae? Yep.
This isn't what about isms.
Well, that's what he said in the post.
Our guy did that, but what about this back in 1985?
This is what he said.
Could it have been just a misunderstanding?
No, Dan, go back and look at it.
From the text line. 45-20 says, that is a lie. He, I'm assuming the second baseman, was trying to defuse the situation or something maybe you all don't know about. It's called sportsmanship.
No, no it it's not. Was not.
45-20, you are delusional or drunk. What he did when he tapped him on the back was not sportsmanship. That was a, I got you, mother blanker. You're out. Go back to your dugout and mind your business.
Well, and this is already coming off, right? Like the Yankees had already started talking trash, right? Do you remember Jazz Chisholm said that the Royals got lucky when they played them on Monday?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what Jazz Chisholm said after the game. He said that the Royals got lucky in their win. So there were already a little bit of this was already boiling underneath.
Tension was already heightened.
Somebody says, where was George Brett?
Well, he's probably ripping his shirt off ready to come down.
Yeah, he punched a guy in a playoff game and then didn't get ejected. So baseball's a little bit different now.
Here's what the manager said. I have it right in front of me.
Royals
very
manager?
Very flippant. No, Aaron Boone, the Yankees manager, said he's not sure what happened on the dust-up, but, quote, if there's some upset over the slide, I mean, just go back and show a little Hal McRae, Willie Randolph, and we'll laugh at ourselves.
Oh, simmer down.
He's hearkening all the way back.
To the 1980s.
No, to 1977, which was also between, like I said, the Yankees and the Royals.
1-2 pitch to Brett. Curveball bounced to Nettles at third, to second for one, and McRae takes and out.
They collide at second. Did I just play audio from my computer?
Q, did you play that?
I did not.
Yes, you did.
Kontek is going to try to score.
I've never been able to do that before. You don't want me being able to play audio from my computer.
No, I don't,
you better
because,
turn that off,
because
Q.
That stuff doesn't get screened prior. There could be F-bombs. We don't even know.
Mute. All right, I've muted it.
You know what this means?
God, I feel like I have a new superpower.
What is it? 4.5 months, pitchers and catchers?
Report.
Late February, yeah.
Or 3.5 months. Let's just do it again next year.
Let's do it.
You know, I hope you're right.
Yeah.
I really do.
I hope so, too. Hopefully, maybe this will be like a repeat of a decade ago.
Yeah.
When in 13, they didn't make the playoffs, but there was a spark.
Missed it by 90 feet. Remember that photo?
Well, 90 feet's a base.
Whatever. He was on third, and he was, remember that? And he's just staring at home plate. And then the next year, we went back and did what we did. From Vinny on Twitter just now, thank you, Kansas City, for all the love and support this season. So proud to have been part of the team that brought playoff baseball back. Shout out to all of the fans who make this place feel like home.
Somebody says on the text line, I took the tap on the back to be a nice try, pal, better luck next time, and not an insult. You guys are nuts. No, no, no.
It was facetious. Nice try, better luck next time, buddy.
It was a nice try. Your mom's ugly.
Keep in mind, if they had just been aggressive at getting him out at the plate, which they did, that's one thing. You have to remember he then turned around and re-smacked tagged him after he was originally called out, then after that was the pat on the back.
This was not
There's no defending
hey buddy, we'll
it.
We'll see
there's
you next
no
year.
There's no defending it.
Nice job. Good hustle.
Yeah, say hi to your mom.
Way to hustle. Nice job.
Damn Yankees.
Yep. Amen. Amen to that.
Amen to that.
oh.
If you want, you know.
God, I hate them.
If you want some positivity,
yes,
is that
we do.
The Royals are basically bringing everybody back next year. Most of the guys that they signed over the offseason, so your Seth Lugos, they signed multi-year contracts.
Good.
I imagine that Waka, who was the starting pitcher last night, he has a player option. So I imagine that he's going to opt out of his contract and he's going to get a bigger deal somewhere else. But if he opts out of his contract, the Royals get a draft pick for it. So even some of the guys that may end up leaving, there's still a little bit of positivity there.
Oh my God, what goes on in your brain,
I know,
son?
It's sports things. I love it. It makes me happy.
I know.
I don't understand a word that just came out of your mouth. Is Bobby Witt coming back?
Bobby Witt's coming back.
That's all I need to know. Thank you.
Yes, he is coming back.
And Salvi
and
Vinny.
He's got a player option that he can exercise. I have no idea what you just said.
It's a good thing. That's all you need to know. It's a good thing.
All right. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. I can't believe I forgot to tell you about this yesterday. There is a new movie coming out. Q, if you'll look it up and tell me what the release date is, if you would be so kind. I think it's in limited release right now, and then it goes nationwide, I think today, if I'm not mistaken. It is a movie about Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Called Saturday Night.
Yeah, Lorne Michaels. And
this is what we fight in.
Early
to
years.
Extend these liberties to all Americans.
Including men of color like myself.
We will also have... two names for animals. One when they are alive, and a different one when they become food. So cows will be beef, pigs will be pork.
And chickens, sir?
That one stays. Chickens are chicken. And we will create our own foods and name them what we want. Like the hamburger.
Made of ham, sir?
If it only were that simple. A hamburger is made of beef. Just as a buffalo wing is made of chicken. But fear not, men. A hot dog will not be made of dogs.
Okay. So anyway, good.
It's called Saturday Night, which was the original name of the show.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
And now, Saturday Night Live. And you can tell in the trailer, there's a young Lorne Michaels. The actor is playing a young Lorne Michaels going out on the streets of New York trying to hand out free tickets to this new show that no one wants to see. And I think they got some success fairly early on because that first season, I don't know if it was all Belushi and Eddie Murphy the first season, but Gilda
Eddie
Radner
Murphy was not in the first season.
Think of all of the Dan Aykroyds.
Chevy Chase.
Yes.
What's her name? Gosh dang it.
Gilda Radner.
Gilda Radner. Thank you.
Yeah. So I will see it. I don't know if that's what I'm going to go to the theater to see.
Really?
And we also just decided, as bad as I want to see Joker, we are going to wait for that to come out at home because the reviews have just not
been
great.
They're terrible.
And here's the deal. I don't know that that film is terrible. I think I'm going to enjoy it. I think it's not what people were expecting, where the first Joker with Joaquin Phoenix is this violent, psychopathic thriller, almost horror movie. This is more of a musical.
When I told you I had not seen Joker until we were in Cancun, and it was a rainy day. It was the only all day rain that I've ever experienced in Cancun. So we're up in the room, and we're just kind of flipping through the channels, and 80% of them are in Spanish, and God knows I don't speak Spanish. And then we fumble upon an HBO. And it's the Joker, and it just started in English. And, you know, it's raining outside. We've got time to kill. And wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That movie is incredible.
It's a roller coaster.
I told you when it came out.
I know.
I think it's one of the best movies in a macabre, awful, scary way. One of the best movies I have seen in a long time. Speaking of Halloween and Joker and masks and all that stuff. From the Lawrence Police Department. Hey, remember, if your costume has a mask tomorrow, take it off before you go into the bank, gas station. Just the mask, not the whole costume. And then they follow that up with birthday suits aren't costumes with a little like dancing emoji.
Very cute.
Are we there because it is Halloween that police departments are now saying take your mask off before you go into a bank or a grocery store? Or are they listening to Dana and Parks, where we have said for the last 2 years, because people keep robbing banks in masks, that they should not be allowed in places the way they were at the height of the pandemic.
Probably the former rather than the latter.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that thinks adult Halloween costumes are dumb?
It's not my thing. Do you go to costume parties?
No. I wouldn't have a costume to wear. And I'm not I am an old fuddy-duddy, but I'm not like a Debbie Downer or a party pooper. If somebody invited me to a Halloween party, and Halloween's not my holiday. Sorry, Johnny Dare. It's not my holiday. But if they said, you know, hey, we'd like to have you come over. We're going to have some hors d'oeuvres. We're going to have some soda pops.
But dress
whatever,
up.
But we want you to dress up. I would sit that one out.
Okay, when I hear costume party, we want you to dress up, I just go, However, the last couple of costume parties I've been to with friends have been very fun. Like, once you're there, it's like, all right, this is funny. And people are very creative.
Who have you gone as?
my favorite costume that I resurrected last year was the long retired Hooters waitress.
Sorry?
Yeah. I'll show you a photo.
Oh, right now, please?
Yeah.
You went as a retired Hooters waitress?
Elderly.
Sagging boobs?
Yes. Yeah. With oranges in the...
Was your midriff showing?
No, it's the funniest costume, I swear. And they said, like, prizes for funny. Like, we want creative, we want funny. I mean, you can come as a witch,
Did you wear tight orange shorts?
I wore an orange golf skirt of mine, yes, with a Hooters shirt and a wig. Yeah.
Oh, Dana.
And a little, hi, my name is Ethel.
Oh, Dana.
Oh, it was funny. Come on, that's funny.
Did you have to explain the costume?
No.
Okay.
It is very self-explanatory.
Because I think if you have to explain the costume's no good.
Okay, I do have an explaining costume funny story. If you decide to go as blank in a box, which is a very popular, very funny costume as Justin Timberlake on Saturday Night Live.
Correct.
Many people have done that, but you really have to... make sure you do it correctly, because my son 1 year went, and people under the age of like 35, I don't know that all of them were around for that skit or remember it. And so at the time he was in college and he was at a bar or whatever, and everyone's cracking up because they understand the skit. And then this girl goes, I don't understand. What are you? And he goes, I'm blank in a box. And she's like, what? And Jack said to me at the time, he goes, have you ever tried to explain that skit to someone who's never seen it? Like, you just end up sounding like a complete creeper. Like, you can't explain that Saturday Night Live skit if no one's ever seen it.
He didn't really have his blank in the box, did he?
Well, no, what I have seen people do is inside the box, and it's all, you know,
keep it clean,
tricked out with a bow and wrapping paper.
Right.
The best one I saw 1 year, they put Dick Clark, Dick Van Dyke, and photos of Dick Vitale inside the box. That's hilarious. It's creative. But again, if you've never seen that skit,
it doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. And you're wearing a trench coat. So it gets like, if you have to explain it, maybe err on the side of not doing it.
But the best part of that whole skit is when she goes,
thank you. Jinx, you owe me a coat. Maya Rudolph, when she opens the box. Thank you. Step one, cut a hole in the box.
Okay, we're good.
I'm just saying it's
no,
funny,
we're good.
But you have to see it to understand it.
Okay.
If you have to explain it, maybe you don't go there.
So you went to a costume party last year?
Yeah, last year.
I haven't been to a costume party in my adulthood.
It's also, you have to know your audience. So like, it was with Patty and all of my very best golf friends. So if you're going to be like risque, to me... you kind of have, like, if you know people there, it's more easy to get away with that. Am I wrong, Q?
Yeah, I think that it's more of like a group thing. Like, I've never gone to a public costume party. But you want to know how I know Scott hasn't been to a costume party in a while?
Yeah,
it's because he called it an hors d'oeuvre and not an appetizer.
Yeah, an hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah,
it's
so that's how I know, you know. But I went to a costume party last year.
I know what you mean.
Now, I think also, you know, I'm also 25, so I think that it's more appropriate for me to go to a costume party. You know, more
with that
people
beard,
my
you could
age.
Go as a Unabomber.
I went as the brawny paper towel guy back in college.
Oh, that's a great costume.
Yeah,
that's a great costume.
Yeah,
it is. That's very good. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. You know, we were talking about movies a minute ago. A story here from Channel 5's website. Several audience members at the UK premiere of Terrifier 3 on Wednesday night walked out. One of them vomited.
What?
According to the horror movie's distributor, Signature Entertainment. The Terrifier franchise is known for its gory ultra-violence, and its sadistic perpetrator, Art the Clown, is reportedly in top terrifying form in the third installment of the slasher series. Quoting here from Signature Entertainment on Twitter, thank you to everyone joining us last night for the Terrifier 3 gala. Venue staff have reported 11 people walked out and one person threw up. If the Terrifier 3 event impacted you, please let us know if you need more support.
Is this a ploy that, like, it's so scary if you need our support? They're trying to get more butts into seats by saying this is so scary someone threw up. Well, maybe that person had bad sushi.
Or maybe it was just gross.
What's the movie about?
It's Terrifier 3. I've never even heard of Terrifier 1 or 2.
I mean, if it is a marketing ploy, we're talking about it.
I know it. That's like, have you ever heard the like, I don't even know what drug it is, but it's like, one of the side effects is you could lose weight on this drug. Let's say it's for like blood pressure. It's not even a weight loss drug. Huh. But if you start losing too much weight, let your doctor know. Right. Okay, that is a ploy to get you to call about the blood pressure drug.
They had to posted a sign on the door leading into the theater that said, this film contains extreme violence and excessive gore.
I don't like that.
If you are feeling unwell, please find a member of staff. Staff are trained in first aid and are on site.
Oh, good God. That is a marketing ploy. It has 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. 94%.
That's good, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's going to beat out Joker this weekend, which is no surprise.
Terrifier 3.
It's a micro-budget movie. So think Blair Witch Project.
Okay.
I don't like... We were talking about this the other day. I like thriller... And I don't mind the jump scare, but
did you ever
I don't
get
like,
into like Saw.
No. I hate the Saw just gore. Even Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I don't like movies like that. I like the jump scare thriller, scary, creepy old people and creepy children terrify me.
Like Smile? Where would you put that?
Now, there was gore. Yeah, and I see you smiling. Okay. I'm going to force you to watch that for all that you've done to me over that movie.
No.
I thought that was one of the best scary movies I've ever seen.
Smile.
Yes.
Huh.
But I don't like gore. I don't just like the blood. And then phones are ringing. If you've seen this, like, is this one that you should not let your teenager go see? Because they're all looking for something to do before Halloween.
It says ultra violence and excessive gore. I don't want to see it. And I'm 53.
Can we get a
trailer? No.
Why can't we watch the official trailer?
Because it's just going to be slashing.
It's a clown. That's why I hate clowns. It's a creepy, weird clown with blood on his face.
What about like It?
I didn't.
Was that a thriller?
I don't like anything where children are being kidnapped. We all float down here. I mean, that creeps me out to this day.
But in Smile, there were kids who were committing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to say the word.
Can we not play the trailer? Now I want to hear it.
No, we cannot play the trailer. Do you think there's any dialogue in the movie Terrifier 3? It's going to be...
Let me look up Terrifier 3 warning. Ew! Okay, wait a minute. Let me show you one of the clowns. I don't like clowns. I mean, I just think it's the scariest thing ever. Look at that clown.
That's not a clown.
That's disgusting.
Dave in Liberty. Dave, hello.
Hi, Dave. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's strictly a marketing ploy, because if you haven't seen Terrifier 1 or Terrifier 2, which I think was Halloween something, you're not going to go see Terrifier 3 on a whim unless you're already into that. I like good horror movies. I didn't care for Terrifiers because all it is, it's basically torture porn. And
it's basically what?
What porn?
They call it torture porn.
Torture porn.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, I mean, it's not porn in the sense of porn.
Yeah, we got it.
But they call it torture porn because it's just torture. It's like Hostel, but...
I don't like any of that. I don't like any of that.
Yeah, no, and it really isn't entertaining for me. Like I said, I like a good horror movie, but...
And when they say staff trained in first aid are on site, do you mean the popcorn kid? The kid literally...
Yes.
No, they are not.
But Dave, answer me this question. You didn't like Terrifier 1. Why did you go see Terrifier 2?
I didn't.
Oh.
I saw Terrifier 1. I didn't even watch the whole thing. I was into it for about, you know, maybe 10 minutes just to see what was going on. And then it was just, yeah, it was the gross killing. There's no real, and when you say there's no talking in it, he does not talk. I mean, that's one of the things.
Is one of the characters dressed as a creepy Santa Claus?
Clown.
I think it's him. And
oh, it is. That's disgusting.
Yeah, but he never talks through the whole thing. He just makes these really weird faces and smiles with these big jagged teeth. And yeah, it's not my thing, but there's people out there love it, and it's a cult following.
The scene that we just looked up, Dave, and you're right, there's no audio. There's a little boy that wanders downstairs on Christmas Eve, and he sees Santa Claus under the tree, and he's all excited.
And Santa's got his back turned.
Yeah, Santa turns around, and it's this creepy clown weirdo.
And then he comes, the kid screams out, Santa!
No way am I watching that.
And he grabs an axe.
Okay, that, no way am I watching that.
And turns around.
That's horrible. Why would you, I don't like that.
Jennifer in the Northland. Jennifer.
Hey. So years ago, I'm dating myself, when The Exorcist came out, it was showing at two theaters on the Plaza Embassy theaters. They're no longer there. Mm-hmm. And after the first night, they had an ambulance there for every performance because people, this was not a ploy. People were getting sick. They were fainting. Someone couldn't make it up the aisle. It was the oddest thing. And it wasn't gory in the sense that these newer movies are, but they had people had a very adverse reaction to it. I've never seen the movie. No, thank you.
Huh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Okay. It's not my thing. I don't do scary horror. I don't do gore horror.
I don't like it.
What, if you produce that movie, let me rephrase, if you direct or write that movie, what's going on in your brain? Because you're not normal.
Can I clarify one of my earlier comments?
Of course.
When I say I hate the slasher gore, I do, but what do you consider Halloween?
Slasher gore?
The movies, but I thought those were well done. Huh. Even one of the later ones with Jamie Lee Curtis in her 60s or 70s, I did go see those. But to me, that's not, and yes, he's, you know, in a psych ward and he's a maniac and he does go out and do what Jason does or whatever his name is, right. Michael Myers.
Right.
But it's not like a Saw. Like to me, Saw is in a different category of just gross, bloody chainsaw.
See, I would put that, I would put the Saw series, and I believe they're now at 7 or 8, as what I believe David Liberty called torture porn. Because those movies are just so gory, so grotesque.
Yeah.
That, and there is a plot. I've watched one or two Saw movies, and there is a plot to them, and it's gross, and it's sick, and demented. But it's, I mean, like the Halloween movies, and we went and watched the most recent Halloween that came out like 2 years ago.
I enjoyed it.
But there was no plot. I mean, he just walks up and down the street, and somehow the police never show up, killing people, you know? The police never show up in Halloween. It's weird.
Haven't you seen the commercial that's making fun of the scary movie genres? I think it's even a car commercial last night. You played during the Royals game. Where they're like, why don't we just get in the car that's running right there? Yes. And the guy goes, no, let's hide behind those chainsaws.
Yes, yes, I saw that.
I thought that was so funny.
Let's go hide behind the chainsaws.
My favorite part about it is that they have it's the blonde girl that's like saying, let's go get in the running car.
Yep.
When the trope is that the blonde girl is
always the one. Yeah, yes, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Eddie Murphy had a skit years ago about how white people always go into the house that they're not supposed to go into.
Yeah.
Where black people, if they go into the house and
they're
hear,
like, nope.
And they hear, get out. And the guy goes, baby, we gotta go.
We gotta go.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Thank you, astute texter. The Saw movies started in 2004, and they were released in successive years, 2004, 2005, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. There have been a total of 11 Saw movies. Saw 2, 3, 4, and 9 were directed by a man named Darren Bousman from Overland Park.
I had no idea.
Shawnee Mission North alum.
Good for him.
Darren Bousman directed 2, 3, 4, and 9. Todd in Kansas City. Hello, Todd.
Hey, how are you doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
Yeah, I got to say something, man. You said earlier, you know, what's wrong with people's minds who make these movies? And I have to tell you, man, in the horror business, I've been doing this in the film business since 89. I live in Kansas City. I'm in Los Angeles a lot doing business there. And I've never met nicer people than the people in the horror industry, honestly. Yeah. These guys, they may create nightmares, but it's more of a, you know, it isn't like what you're trying to imply. No one's sick. You know, nowadays you have to do a lot more to shock people than you used to.
Yeah, that is true.
A black cat can jump out of a tree and everyone screams and the whole theater goes crazy. That doesn't happen anymore. So it's kind of like a roller coaster. You know, you go up that big lift hill and you want a bigger and a higher hill every time you ride a coaster. You want it to be faster.
Todd, real quick, you are in film. You're part of the Kansas City film community.
I'm part of the film community. I do film in Kansas City, but I'm not part of like the independent filmmaker guys.
Let me ask you something. I don't know how old you are, but back in our day, the scariest movie I could think about for a while is
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street, certainly. But I think of even Pet Sematary and Poltergeist, which some of those older horror movies still translate and can scare you today. I think Halloween or maybe even Nightmare on Elm Street.
Poltergeist did not age well.
Some of them did not age well. And I think it goes to what you said, that we are conditioned to bigger and better and scarier. And you go back now and look at some of the films that were so scary when we were growing up, and you end up like laughing like that scared me.
It's weird, too, because, you know, nowadays everything's homogenized. So when a movie like Terrifier does come out, they kind of blow it out of proportion. I mean, of course, we know it's all marketing. There's, you know, people aren't vomiting and fainting and all this. They did it last year with Terrifier 2, and I'm friends with those guys, and I'm very happy for them for the success they've had. You know, it's all hitting a niche market that has kind of exploded into something because, like you, you know, I made a movie called Clownado, which was just because the title was ridiculous. We had a big laugh about the title, but we made this movie about killer clowns in a tornado, and it was just ludicrous. But it's like that kind of stuff. It's kind of like going to the funhouse when you're a kid. It's just ridiculous, you know, and you can't take it serious. And with Terrifier, it's not meant to be taken serious. It's a slasher movie. They come up with these new titles like torture porn. No one even knows what they mean. You know, it's definitely not anyone being tortured. It's more just a slasher movie. It's taken to the extreme. You know, these movies in the old days, I think, were made better, like The Thing. And you know, John Carpenter was a master of what he did. And we had the Italian horror films playing at our drive-ins. The 80s were a heyday, and even the early 90s. But now everything kind of looks the same, kind of feels the same. So when something kind of comes out and kind of shakes people up, you know, you have a bunch of different groups. You have the people who love it, and you have the people who hate it, and then all the things in between, you know. But, you know, like the guy in Liberty says, I watched 10 minutes of it, and then he judges the entire franchise on 10 minutes. That's what's wrong. You know, no one's really paying attention to what's going on. No one's even watching the audience. I saw Terrifier 2 with a packed house. People were going crazy. It felt like back in the day with Nightmare on Elm Street. It felt like that. Yeah. It was just a...
Or Blair Witch when it came out, Todd. You remember how shocked everyone with Blair Witch was with it. It was like a handy cam, like handheld. Right. And it was so...
We thought it was real.
It was so real feeling and new. Well, that's now been done and redone and redone and redone. So that's not new anymore.
Todd, does your last name start with the letter S?
It sure does.
I'm so happy to hear your voice.
I'm watching Clownado right now.
It's so good.
It's an hour and 39 minutes, so it's a Sam. It's a short-ass movie.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, the thing. Roger Corman taught us all. You go in, you give them 80 minutes of nonstop entertainment, and you get out. You know, the drive-ins will never die.
Yeah.
That's kind of the whole thing. And we, you know, as far as my company, we still adhere to that adage. You know, we do everything. The name of our company is Extreme Entertainment, so that kind of tells you. But we do everything the old school way. We're still making, you know, we just made a movie this summer in Kansas City that is being edited, and I'm getting ready to go to New York to show a movie that was made here 30 years ago.
Hey, Todd, do me a favor, because we're up against the break. Reach out to me on Facebook, and we'll exchange information. And the next time, because it happens more than you would think, the film things and cinema things come up on the show, we will reach out to you, because I know you know so much about it.
And Todd, I want to take it a step further, if you would let us, if you don't mind. the next time you film in Kansas City, can Dana and I be extras?
Sure, we can do that.
Hell yeah.
I'm being serious.
I'm serious, too. We could have used you a couple weeks ago. We can do that.
Hey, let us know. I'm in. Be well. All it's right. Good to hear your voice.
I want to be in a movie.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Hey, do appreciate the call. Good luck.
Thanks.
All right, take care.
Scott Parks, actor.
Cody and Shawnee, you get the last word.
Hey,
hello.
Cody.
Hey, I hope you guys are well. So, you know what? This is one of the best times is to dress up and be something that is not you, right? Yeah. Like back in college, I dressed up as Party Boy from the Jackass movies just to, you know, just to flip the switch of the regular Jason or Freddy Krueger looks. I dressed up as Cochise from the Beastie Boys video. And huh. I even made my own Saw costume, you know, with the doll on the tricycle.
Yeah.
And a lot of these were because of where I was at. Some of these had costume parties or these prizes where you can win. And that's kind of a drive, too, you know. Because, I mean, you know, granted, you go home now that I'm a family man, it's way different. But, you know, back then when it was you were single, no kids, nothing, you were able to be expressive.
All right, man, I got to stop you there. Cody, do appreciate the call, man. Thank you very much. Don't forget, we have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That's brought to you by Q39. Make sure you sign up for the Dayton Parks Cornhole Tournament a week from tomorrow at Serve. All the money goes to KC Pet Project. Slots are limited. Go to KMBZ.com to register your team.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.